You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I am Steve Dotto, and we are glad you are joining us this fine day in November. Art Factor, my producer, how are you today, sir?
I'm good.
Did you have a good week?
Not as good as you, sir.
Why? What do you mean?
Have seen the sun revolve around the earth for the 50-something-ish time?
It was my birthday this week. Yes. Yes, it was.
How was it?
It came and it went, and it was good. It was actually a very special birthday because it was Saturday night, and...
And you can now get the blue plate special.
No. Oh. Next year I can get... I was thinking about that. I turned 54. Yeah. Okay. All my friends, or a large number of my friends, came to see the play that I'm doing on Saturday night. Lend me a tenor. And so there was a big party up in the bar at the Metro, and it was awesome. We were there to, like, for old people to, like, 1:30 in the morning, having fun and chatting and visiting, and lots of and some surprising people. Jay Brazow showed up. It was awesome visiting with him.
He's a big musical
theater
actor.
He was the star of Hairspray and The Producers, Fiddler on the Roof, those sorts of shows. Yeah, so Jay was there, which made me nervous because when I was a kid. Well, no, Jay's as kind a gentleman as you can find on the
face. So he critiqued you behind your back, is what you're saying.
I doubt it. I don't think he does that. But when I was a kid doing musicals and plays in Vancouver, I would show up at the audition, and I was okay. I used to get a lot of roles. And all the other short, fat guys would go, oh, darn, Dotto's here. And I meant that they weren't going to get the role. And then I'd sit down, wait for the audition, and then Jay would walk in, and I'd go, Jay's here. Because it meant that I wasn't going to get the role.
Ouch.
So it was this pecking order. You know, you always knew who your betters were. Jay was my better.
Huh.
So, but it was good to see. But my family and friends, everybody had a really good time. The show's going awesome. If anybody has no plans tomorrow night, Thursday night, drop by. Metro has two tickets for $32. Such a deal.
Wow.
For a night of fine rib-splitting entertainment.
Well, I've been to the Metro Theater, and it's very quaint.
Yes.
I went last year. It was fantastic. The radio station supports Metro Theater, and I will support you this weekend,
okay.
Mr. Dotto.
Good. Well, thank you. Now, how many Facebook happy birthdays did you get on your birthday?
I don't count those kind of things.
I wanted to have more, and I don't think I did. I think you had like 120.
And
I was just
I counted yours. You had 85. So, yes.
No,
hey,
I had
let's...
more than 85.
No,
you only
I
count
just
those.
Googled it.
No, that was...
I said it.
There was more than 85. Those actually.
Oh, you're counting the ones that just commented on pictures that you posted and then threw a happy birthday in because they felt guilty?
I took every stat I could, but I ran an analytics program. Did you do that?
Of course not.
Of course
not. I don't. It's, Steve, the competition that you've created between the two of us just doesn't seem fair.
Well, it isn't fair, but we promoted your birthday on the radio. We did not do mine. That's why I'm saying you beat me. We got a great show lined up. I'm so excited. It's App Wednesday. We're going to be talking apps. And we have in the house, we've been waiting forever to get both these people in. We have
the heaviest hitters in Vancouver.
In social media. We have Rebecca Bullwit, Miss 604. We've been trying to, how long have we been trying to get you on, Rebecca?
A couple weeks. Yeah.
It's more than a couple of weeks.
Okay,
it's
a couple of months.
It's a couple of months. But Rebecca's here. And Todd Maffin is in studio. Todd Maffin is the only person of voting age in Vancouver that doesn't drive. So it's such a such
wait,
an effort
to clarify,
to get
I have a license. I just hate driving. With
yeah,
a passion.
Well, you don't have a car.
No, I don't.
Have you heard of these little, you know, Car2Go's and stuff like that?
Car2Go's fantastic. They've got this great app as well, since we're
yes.
on app. And you just touch it, and it shows you where the closest car is. You touch it again, you reserve it, you go swipe your car. I love them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why don't you have that?
I have that. I just hate driving.
You have that, and I still had to drive in to pick you up?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a nice guy.
I am. I don't mind. I didn't know you used Car2Go. I love that service. It's App Wednesday, so here's the rules. We're going to be talking apps. We're going to be talking apps that we like, apps that we don't like, apps that we love, and Art's going to give us some apps that we probably don't care about. And
it's too soon. We're 5 minutes into the show, Steve.
Is it only five?
Give me a break.
I'm sorry, Art. I take that back.
I might have one good one.
You do. You've been coming through. Since you became an Apple fanboy, you've really been coming through with a lot more.
Oh, did he switch over to Apple too?
Well, as a result of the show,
Borg continues to assimilate.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah, he. Well, when I first met you, Art, now 2 years ago, what was your phone?
I don't even remember. I just remember.
It was a Nokia flip phone. Okay. I remember.
Of course you do.
Because I looked at it and said, what is that?
And it had, it used the, what is it, the WEP. And I was checking, hockey scores on that.
Yes.
Other than that, you couldn't really do much else.
Yes.
Dude,
yes.
It had a hinge.
Yeah. That's true.
But it also had a removable battery, which wasn't a bad idea.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea. Kind of,
it does work.
I feel like
them.
On this side of the board, of the window, I'm like chiseling into stone to send you guys notes. It's not that bad.
Have you seen the new video? There's a new video out by the guys at The Onion, the nearly official history of the internet, where they talk about it. It's a very funny, it's a whole video series that The Onion's doing, so check it out. It's I'll post it. I just watched them today, but it's back in the day when people used to chisel out modems and stuff.
Well, years ago there was this huge, as you know, this huge conference in Vegas called Comdex, which was
yes.
the big nerd mecca that we would all go to.
Yes.
And I remember being there 400 years ago or whenever it was, and there was a booth there, and it took up, you know, a quarter of the entire thing. It was enormous. And all they did was hinges. It was this little South Korean company, and all they made were hinges for cell phones.
Really?
It was enormous.
Oh,
Comdex huge
used
business.
It used to be a rush. And that was before the internet. We would carry around bags full of brochures, and you'd be weighed down. And you'd go with empty luggage so you could bring back all the brochures. That was when I was in computer
sales. No, Steve, you would go down with empty luggage to bring back the brochures.
That is true, and I did. And okay, so let's get into apps. Let's talk apps. And you started with one, Cardigo. Let's talk about Cardigo because their app is amazing. And they're just one of probably three or four car services
yes.
that allow you to basically defer the ownership of a car. You just sign up for a club. It's like a co-op. And
Moto and Zipcar as well.
Zipcar, yeah. They're the other ones.
Zipcar is an app.
Yeah. Do you use one?
I have Zipcar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does it have a good app?
The app is good. You can honk the horn of the car with the app, too.
Oh, you're so as you're walking by?
Boop, boop. Yeah.
So you know, but they have more than just idea, the they have more than just the little Mercedes Plus 2, the smart cars.
Yeah. They start with smaller compact cars. You can get everything up to like an Audi.
Yeah.
But do you have to return it to the same place you picked it up?
You do.
See, yeah. Now here's the difference between Zipcar and the car co-op folks or Car2Go. And this is why, and I was a member of the car co-op, the Vancouver one years ago, but you had to reserve it on their website ahead of time. And then you would pick it up and now you had your choice of cars, but then you had to say when you would bring it back and you would have to bring it back to the location. It had its own little home place. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of Car2Go is you open up the app, you find the phone, I find the car rather.
You look for the nearest car to you,
yes.
Just based on a Google map.
It's sadly an Apple's map now, of course, on the iPhone, but yes, essentially a little map. It shows you, it actually draws a little line to the closest car, tells you whether or not, you know, how full the gas tank is. You drive it, and when you're done, this is a great thing, you just leave it pretty much wherever you want. I mean, obviously, it has to be in a parking spot. Any residential street, even if it says with a permit, there are these special lots just for Car2Go and any other sort of public area.
And I saw there's even parking lots like at the Lansdowne Mall or Richmond Center Mall. They have some Car2Go spot, even though you can't pick up a car there. Because
yeah.
You can only pick it up, is it north of 49th Avenue or north of, north of 49th. So there's a limit to where the cars can be left.
Yes.
So north of 49th and west of Renfrew, I think it was. I was just looking at it last night. I thought it was really a creative service.
Another great app for car sharing that I know you know as well, Rebecca, is Uber. And these are sort of like private small limousines, town cars, right? Mm-hmm. And same kind of thing where you open up the app. It's Uber. And it shows you on the map. It's got a little picture of you. It's a little stick figure waving. And then it shows you where all the rest of the cars are in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
And you just click the button that says set pickup location. It tells you how many minutes away. And after you hit it, it will show you the face of the driver who's coming to get you, the type of car, the license plate. One minute before it arrives, it shows up. And here's the best part is you can track its progress coming toward you on the map.
Well, that's like the taxi app. I can't remember it. I'll look it up.
There's
here.
There's Halo is a taxi app. It's in Toronto, but I don't think it's in Vancouver yet.
Yeah, let me just look up. I keep going. Yeah, go ahead, Todd. You were saying? Oh, Taxi Now is the one. Taxi Now.
Does that work in Vancouver?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can see the cab coming to you, so you can order online. But Uber doesn't use, do they use licensed taxis? Because there's always issues around Uber.
They are town cars, essentially.
Town cars.
And
so they're
SUVs.
The same ones as the limos that you would order car service to take you to the airport.
Yes, but not a limo, not a stretch limo.
Yeah,
yes.
No, but they're like the black
they're like
town
the Lincoln,
cars.
Yeah, guy in a suit and everything. And here's the best part about the app is it already knows you give it your credit cards. So I have a credit card for my company. I've got a personal credit card. So I load it up with both of those. And then when you're in the car, when you're driving, whatever, you just get out. You don't have to stop and pay and go through the whole, do you have cash? No, I don't. You know, all that whole process. It bills it. It includes the tip. It's automatic. And then you just select on the app which card you want it to go to. And then it emails you this really cool receipt that actually shows you, it draws you a line of exactly where, which route you took even.
Now, is it, as far as cost, does it compare with taxis? Is it more? Is it less?
It's more expensive than taxis. I've found it's about 50% more. So if you're going to pay, if you're going to pay
30, you know, it's 45.
30 is like 45. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you use it, Rebecca?
I have the app and I've signed up, but I have not used the car actually yet.
Now the cool thing is the Uber folk have also extended that. I'm not sure if it's the exact same people, but they've, you can now also book Learjets through Uber.
Wow.
Yeah, they have a jet sharing.
That shit on your credit card?
Yeah. Well, you,
not my credit
high
card.
Limit. It'd be American Express, I'm pretty sure. The gold card or the platinum. Yeah.
I can't fit a Starbucks coffee on my card
anymore. And it's not just you don't necessarily book the whole jet, but you can book a seat on a jet. So if you have to go from LA to New York, you say, you know, I'm looking for a seat on a jet, and it costs you like $15,000 for the flight as opposed to $5,000 first class on a commercial flight, but then you're flying on some dude's Lear.
You know, and this is the great thing about apps is that this technology has we've needed something like this for so long. I mean, there's been no innovation in the come get me and drop me off industry. And in fact, we were just talking off air before we came on the air, but you know, if you are a solopreneur, if you're, you know, trying to sell your own books or products or that kind of thing, and you're at a craft fair or whatever, to get a credit card account with the banks, for the last 20, 30 years, you had to get a merchant account. It was expensive. It was hard. You had to blah, blah, blah. And now Square, this great little company.
You stole Square from me.
Oh, sorry.
That was one of my points. But okay, you go. You run with it, Mr. Maffin.
Sorry. I should see your list ahead of time.
It's okay.
They will send you for free, temporarily, they're not doing this forever, a little reader plugs into your phone, and you just swipe the credit cards right there. I tried it. I'd build a dollar to myself. They take 3 cents off of every dollar, and they send it to you.
Have you seen this, Art? Have you seen Square?
I saw, I don't know if
Deal for the events that you do, the comedy events that you do.
Yeah, I'm not positive. I think it was Square. It was at the Apple Store in Hawaii. And
yes, it would have been.
They were actually, they were selling it for $10, but then they gave you a coupon when you first use, when you sign up for Square for $10. So essentially it was free.
Yeah.
So you're not even renting the thing. You get, and it's the size of like a little tiny
Often if you're traveling in the States and you try and pay credit cards, if you're used to doing business travel in Canada, you don't think twice about whipping out your credit card to pay for a taxi trip. In the States, depending on what your city in, they look at you like you got three heads if you try and take a
Toronto's
credit card.
Like that too sometimes.
Toronto can be, yeah. But so, which is the only way I never carry that much cash. So, but now I see many of the taxi drivers down in the States with little Square readers, and they just sit. I signed up for it right away too. The day that it was available in Canada, I signed up. They sent me the little reader. So I've got, I don't know what I'm going to use it for, but I can, even if you're just selling something on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Using Square, you can collect on credit card. You know, so if you sell crafts at a craft store, or even if you're collecting for a if you're doing Girl Guide cookies door to door, you can collect on Square.
So what you're saying is Rebecca and I could charge you for our time to be on your show.
Yes, you could.
And then we could just swipe your card.
Yes, you could.
Well, break it out.
No, I am not doing that, Rebecca.
Yes.
Give us an app that's not one of the ones that Todd's talking about.
So moving away from vehicles or staying with the vehicle theme?
Do you have another vehicle app? That's cool.
I don't have another vehicle app.
Okay, then you can move away.
I have a travel app.
What's
I have a few because I take a lot of flights. I'm sure Todd takes a few more than I do. But Trip Tracker is the one that I use for my my flights. I like that one because you can track your flight just like you could with any other flight app, but it tells you the gate you're going to get into and the account I share with my husband so he can have the same account and flight information and just
so check
he can
on see
where
when you're going to be. So it gives you arrival information plus gates, which is, I guess that's useful. It's probably more useful if you're in, if it switches terminals or
connections,
something, if you're in the States and with connections. Cool.
Yep.
Okay, so time for break. Art, is that why you're giving me the big hairy eyeball? Okay, we're gonna take a quick break. We have with us Todd Maffin, we have Rebecca Bullwit, we have of course Art Factor, and I'm Steve Dotto. You're tuned into Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
You are tuned into Dotto Tech. It is App Wednesday. We are talking apps with Rebecca Bullwit, with Todd Maffin, and Art Factora. I'm Steve Dotto. Just listening to that promo as we were coming out of break, London Drugs has a brand new website. which it's not really an app, but it's a it's they're now e-commerce enabled. They've really worked hard on their new website. So drop by LennonDrugs.com. You'll see something new, and you might decide you might want to shop there instead of heading out the door one day. It's a way to. I know you prefer shopping online if you can, Todd.
Yeah, but I have to buy a freezer, and I don't think I want to do that online. I want to kind of look at the freezer. There's some things that I think I'll always buy.
You got to buy a little apartment-sized freezer?
Yeah.
Costco.
Yeah, I know. I have this ethical thing with it. And, you know, okay, it's silly because I'm going to fill it with eggnog. Like, I love eggnog.
You're going to fill a freezer with eggnog?
I'm going to buy 37 liters of eggnog from Stong's. They're going to deliver it. I'm going to buy them out.
Why?
Don't give me that look. I'm dead serious. Because I love eggnog, and it shows up, you know, right about now, and then on January 2nd, it disappears.
You can make eggnog.
You can't make the eggnog the way it tastes in the box, okay?
Well, that's because you don't have the thickeners. You know what they used to make it thick like that? Bone marrow.
No. Okay, well, I'm talking about the Lucerne Dairyland stuff.
I just made that up. Oh, it's not true.
I totally would have bought that.
I think eggnog is just an excuse to drink booze at the office. Because you slip a little happy stuff in it, and you walk around with eggnog.
Well, that's why the eggnog is so thick, is because it usually has thinning agents in it.
Yeah. Thickening agents.
No, thinning agents.
Thinning.
The booze would thin it.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah,
yes,
right.
Yes, yes. It probably has a thickening agent in to make it so... I don't like eggnog that much. Like, one glass a year, that's all I need is...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm drinking eggnog light here. I could drink eggnog all day long. I have eggnog ice cream. I get eggnog powder. I mean, you name it. I have eggnog syrup, but it's not very good. Anyway, I've derailed us.
I believe we are off track.
Sorry about that. Freezers, that's where it was.
Let's pretend Todd's not here for a moment.
Yeah, good idea.
Rebecca. Now, Rebecca, one of the reasons that I wanted to get you on was I wanted to talk to you about the phenomenal success that your online persona, Miss 604, has engendered. How many Twitter followers do you have now?
36,000 and something, 200 maybe.
Now, is that stable or is it still increasing?
It goes up every day. I get maybe 150 to 200 new followers a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
I get like 17. And like when you're on the show, I get more because you're here and you tweet about it. It's like we're sycophants just following you along. Todd's hoping for a little boost in Twitter props too, I think. Just So how long have you been doing it?
Twitter?
Yeah.
I've been on Twitter since 2007.
And where did Miss 604 come from? Was that before Twitter?
Yes.
Okay, what was the genesis of that?
I started Miss 604 in 2004, mm-hmm. So my eight-year anniversary is coming up November 22nd, the anniversary of my first blog post.
Well, happy blogiversary.
Anniversary, yeah. Thank you. It started out just as a diary blog, everyday mundane details of my life, and I didn't put my name on it, and it was completely anonymous, hence the Miss 604, mm-hmm. the area code of Vancouver. And, it just kind of grew as my career was in online media at the time, and I just wanted to grow out of doing a diary blog and writing about me and writing about something a little more interesting, like the city that I live mm-hmm. in and things I'm passionate about. So it just kind of grew over the years.
And then so it grew out of the blog. Now, do you still do the blogging as much, or is it now mainly in microblogging and Twitter? What's your focus now?
Oh, I blog about 2 to 5 posts every day, but Twitter's the main vehicle.
Really?
Yeah. Twitter is the main vehicle for promoting the blog. So I use, every time I publish a blog post, I put a link on Twitter, I say new blog post, and then a link. And I have more followers on Twitter than I do RSS subscribers or followers in any other social network. So it's a big part of bringing traffic in.
And do you know in advance if you write a story on something that you're going to get a big bump in traffic to the site versus if you write about something that's maybe you think is a little more socially responsible, you're still going to put, but it's not going to get as much traffic? Do you have a sense of that now?
I never really know what will get a lot of pickup. It depends. The subject matter, the company, the organization. I have wrote a post, I think in 2006, about the difference between the levels of caffeine in dark roast coffee and light roast coffee for some reason. I don't know why I wrote that post, but it's continually one of my highest hitting posts.
How many people have read it so far?
Oh, I don't know. But I check my stats every day and I look at my top 5, top 10 posts and it's always up there.
Wow. And do you write all the posts yourself or do you have people that help you out as far as that goes? Or am I allowed to ask that?
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, I write all of them myself. I've written 5,000 posts. I hit that mark yesterday. And 150 of them have been guest posts written by my sister or by John Beeler, a friend of mine who writes about arts and theater.
And so that's so that you can cover parts of the city or events that you can't get out to. You want to make sure it's part of the blog, so you send out John on assignment type thing.
Yep. Yeah, he gets to go on spa days or trips and things like that, or get a vehicle for a day or something. He really hates it, but
he does like testing all the stuff, yeah. And he does a good job. And he does a nice, concise, good job. How many typos do you make per post? See, I would have people just yelling at me all the time. If I wrote that much and posted that much, I would have so many mistakes online that it would be ridiculous.
People love calling out typos. I put, I think Hog Shack was having its second anniversary, but I put 3ND. So like instead of third or second, I put 3ND, and I got like 3 comments about that right away.
It's just like, do they have anything more important in their life? Did they never make us, a typo or, HTE, that's what I always put for the. It always gets out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, my finger combination does that. And I try to set it up in settings so that the Mac automatically converts it, but it doesn't. It's supposed to, but it doesn't. It just sucks from that.
I used to do a thing on another radio station, and I mispronounced the Canadian version of mile. What would you say that is? The abbreviation is KM. Say it.
Kilometer.
What would you say?
Kilometer.
See, the actual correct Canadian pronunciation apparently is kilometer, but yeah. I pronounced it like everyone else does, kilometer, and we had dozens of emails, phone calls.
That was, well, we know what station that was.
It was bigger, but it just shows you how many
also,
people...
It was also the station that has the most pretentious listeners.
Well, now I'm definitely not identifying the network.
There was a song on Canadian Sesame Street, though, that was I Can Walk a Kilometer. So I remember, when I hear kilometer, I think it reminds me of that Sesame Street song. Oh. But I won't sing it.
Well, the rationale, just for 5 seconds to close this out before I get talking about freezer and eggnog again, is that you don't say centometer. It's a centimeter. Right, so therefore, mm-hmm. It's a kilometer. The cadence would be the same.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't blame you. I don't either. These are the things that I concern myself with.
Yes, well, and you know what? Maybe we should care because we are the role models on radio and stuff like that. But if that's the biggest mistake mm-hmm. I make today is not pronouncing kilometer correctly. I know how to measure in kilometers. I think in kilometers, kilometers. You know, I do that. Okay, Rebecca.
Yes.
What apps help you day-to-day with your task of blogging and tweeting?
I'd say the number one app for blogging is the WordPress app, since my blog is powered by WordPress.
So you've actually made that WordPress blog app work, because I installed the WordPress mm-hmm. blog app, but I can't figure out how to hook it into one of the WordPress sites that I have. So because it's a fully hosted WordPress site as opposed to one that WordPress is hosting, so we're hosting it ourselves. Yep. But you do that, I'm sure. So you know how to do that. Yep. In your day job, you must know how to do that, because you also design websites.
I do, yeah.
So you use the WordPress. So do you write the posts on your phone?
If I'm out and about, I'll start a post on my phone, especially if I'm traveling. If I'm away from home for a few days, then I'll start things on there.
So it's like notes. You're doing Nicole's notes version so that you can go in and fill it in later.
Yes.
Okay.
But otherwise, if I've just published a post and then I'm outside of the home and I'm not near my computer and I get an email like I'm saying I have a big typo in my post, then I'll log in right away and fix it.
Now, does the WordPress app work good for uploading photos to your site and preparing your photos, or is it just mainly for preparing the blog text side?
You can do photos, but most of the photos on my site, I'd say 99% of them come from Flickr.
Okay.
So I use Flickr because they're Creative Commons licensed images, and I have a lot of my own on there as well.
Okay. So you just resource them from within Flickr. Mm-hmm. Okay. So WordPress is number one. What about for Twitter?
For Twitter, I use a combination of Hootsuite and Echophone.
Okay. Echophone, I don't know.
I think it's maybe an old one.
It's old school, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally old school. But I love Hootsuite because of the scheduling. So,
yes.
Again, I'm not at home. I'm not near my computer. I can schedule a blog post with WordPress, and I can schedule the tweet about the blog post with Hootsuite. But with Echophone, I like the simplicity of it. So I have my Twitter lists easily displayed. I can do a search and save the search with the click of a button. And I just like the simple layout of it.
Echophone. So if you're doing if you're firing off right now that you're here in the studio with me, you'd be using Echophone to fire off your Twitter feed.
And if people are searching for it, it's Echophone.
Yep.
It's not Phone. Echophone. Yeah.
Yep.
Echophone. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to check that one out. That sounds good. I use Hootsuite for mine, and I do love the schedule. I don't put out that many tweets, and sometimes if I do decide to send out a tweet, quite often I have something else that I want to save fairly short thereafter, and I don't like seeing just a big blast of like, all of a sudden Steve hasn't tweeted for 3 days and all of a sudden there's 5 tweets from him. I think that's kind of, it's just irritating. I don't know what it says. So I like to schedule and spread mine out. Mm-hmm. So I love the scheduling feature in Hootsuite for that.
I have a perfect app then for you if you like to spread things out. It's called Buffer. And it's similar.
Oh, I've heard that.
It's similar to Hootsuite in the sense that Hootsuite, like Rebecca says, you can schedule. But to do that in the case of specific time, so Rebecca would know, okay, I want this to go Tuesday at 8:30. So if you have a particular time and day you want it to go out, Hootsuite's great for that. Buffer acts a little bit differently. Buffer, you basically kind of load stuff into Buffer. It acts as well, a buffer. It acts as kind of this big bucket of content. And you'd say to Buffer, listen, every day at 9 in the morning, noon, and 5 at night, just take whatever is at the top of that bucket list there and spit it out onto Twitter. So there's no specific, you don't have to go in and say, okay, this one should be tomorrow at 9:30.
This is the way you remain, in things like clout, they're looking for consistent posts and that in order to give you the credit that you're an influential person online. This is the sort of thing that you would do to manufacture that kind of presence online.
And not only that, it also helps if in your case, and I think we've all been guilty of this, you know, it's 9:30, 10 at night, and you get onto Twitter and you see all these cool articles, and you're like, no one's heard from you all day, and then all of a sudden there's 12 links that you're sending out on Twitter.
Yeah.
This will kind of spread them all out across. Yeah. And it works on Facebook pages, it works on LinkedIn pages as well. And we do it with our clients where we line up the content for them. Photos, links, and everything, you can drag it around. And then just every day, we just say consistent. I think they think that I'm there like 2 or 3 times a day. And God, Todd is really good. Like every morning at exactly 9 o'clock, he puts, well, it's just because it just happens to have come up to the top of that buffer. So I preload stuff, you know, usually a week in advance, and it just, whenever it's supposed to spit it out next, it just automatically spits it out.
Mm. Do you tweet out photos very often? Do you use Twitter for photos?
I use Instagram for photos and Flickr.
Yeah, okay.
So if it's a really good photo that I've taken with my SLR, I'll put that on
Flickr
and then share that. But otherwise, if it's with my phone, I'll use Instagram.
But as John says, your best phone is the phone you have with you.
So best camera, yeah.
Best camera, sorry, yeah.
Yep.
The phone you have with. So that's, what about you? Do you post many photos?
Yeah, I use Instagram as well.
Instagram.
Which, you know, if you,
Instagram just, yeah, it owns that space. It's a shame that it's owned by Facebook.
It's kind of the Facebook, though, of younger people, you know, like people sort of in the 15, 14 and younger, not on Facebook that much. They're really in Instagram.
My daughter came to my birthday dinner the other night. Now, my daughter is in her 20s, but she works with the young folk. And she says the young folk don't go on Facebook anymore. It's the old folks' place.
That's right.
She says that the new hot one is Snapchat. Have either of you heard of Snapchat?
No.
Art, Snapchat?
I heard about it through a text message I got from you.
Yes, I invited you, all of you, to join me on Snapchat, and nobody said yes. Here's how Snapchat works. Snapchat is it's the new texting that kids are doing, or in replacing a lot of the Twitter and SMSing. It's an app where you take a picture, boom, you take a picture, and you send it to your friends in Snapchat. They have to be part of the Snapchat groups in the client, and then you determine you can add text to it, you can add annotation to the photo that you send. But you determine how long it remains visible.
Oh, I like this.
Yes. So the kids, Melissa's friends, they take stupid pictures of them doing really dumb things like pulling funny faces or in awkward situations. And then they say you can see it for 3 seconds and then you can't see it again.
Although,
it's too short to take a snapshot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And if somebody does do a screen capture, it sends a message back to the originator of the photo that was screen captured.
Really?
Yes. Now, the kids are having a lot of fun with this for pulling funny faces. I think it might have a little more of an adult twist as well to it.
I don't know what you mean, Steve.
The number of people that have been caught with compromising photos that they're sending to each other. This is the way.
Very interesting.
I don't know
so
why
it's sort
my
of like
mind.
A self-destruct
I don't know why
system.
My mind immediately went to that. Yeah, it is.
And
it,
I don't know why you sent me a text to add you on Snapchat. Now that you're telling me that this is what you're planning to use with,
I wanted to try it out, and now, I didn't have it.
Don't
it,
use me as a guinea pig. Is what I'm saying.
You know what I want is I want Snapchat retroactive.
Yes, for all the old
I want
photos.
The ability to just pull back a whole lot of stuff I've posted there.
Emails.
Take comments. Down all of 1999. And, yeah. I just got a list.
Can we erase the 80s? we're gonna take a quick break. You're tuned into Dotto Tech. I am Steve Dotto.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
As we mentioned just in that last little promo, drop by the website, but there's a better reason than to contact Steve. We are giving away a phenomenal prize in November. We're giving away a Sonos music system.
I like music.
I have my Sonos system at home. It arrived last week, and I set it up. Now, Sonos allows me to set up zones. So it's basically Wi-Fi enabled speakers, but they build their own mesh network. So you basically plug a bridge into your router, and then you hit a button on the bridge, and you hit a button on the speaker, and then you put the speaker wherever you want, and it transmits to it through an app. It indexes all of your music. You can send your music to the speaker, and you can control the playlist that's going to the speaker from an app, from your iPhone, from your tablet, from your Android phone. But then they sent me two speakers. So there's one in the bedroom, there's one in the living room. And each one is named independently. I can send different songs to different speakers, or I can send the same music to both speakers.
Did you just say you've given your speakers names?
Yes.
What are their names?
Bedroom and living room.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Sounds like sorcery to me.
What criminal mind could decrypt that?
D'Artagnan and Leonard.
Well, if we're talking about music, and you haven't called on me, so I'm just going to jump in.
But before I finish, drop by the website to enter to win it, because we're giving it away, and no art, you can't enter. Go ahead.
Songza. Have you heard of Songza?
It's on my list.
Yes, I beat you.
Songza is one of the tools that you can leverage that is built into Sonos. So you can choose the Songza list. Wow. Have you seen Songza?
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's very cool. Have you seen it, Rebecca? Okay. Go ahead, Art. You can run with this one.
So I was creeping somebody's Facebook, and they said, somebody was like, I got a new iPhone. I don't know what kind of apps I want to use. And because we do the App Wednesday, I'm so familiar with a lot, and Songza was one that I had not heard of. So I Googled it, or searched it in the iTunes store, found it, and it's essentially, I don't know how they created them, but somebody creates essentially playlists of 60-plus songs in such a specific genre. So if you're feeling like opera
songs. You'd want
songs
some acoustic guitar, background music.
If you wanted Bulgarian folk music because your grandma hasn't heard it since 1930, they probably have. If you want to hear 90s rock from that is full of Nirvana, Pearl Jam, which is what I love, there's a playlist for that. It is perfect. For working out, is upbeat music.
Yeah, upbeat music or walking music. They say, do you want music without any lyrics, without any songs for background while you're working? Do you want it to be a little bit more rocky? Do you want it to be a little more acoustic? Do you want it to be light jazz? All these playlists. And then they're streaming them through to you. Now, they are showing you the album covers as you're going, which is the marketing. It's very similar in a lot of ways to what Pandora was.
Yes. And it's also very clever because you launch it, if it's like a Friday night and you launch it, it'll say, hey, it's Friday night. Here's what we suggest for a Friday night. And it'll say, you know, well, you can have some mood music. It almost reminds me, there years ago there was this game. It's available as an app now, of course. It was called You Don't Know Jack. It's one of the best trivia games of all time.
Yes. It actually was a piece of computer software that became a TV show.
Yes, that's right.
It did everything in reverse. They had TV shows that became software. This was a game that
started. The game sounded like you were on a game show.
You Don't Know Jack was Berkeley Systems was the company that made it. Yes,
and it was clever enough to know, just like Songza, if it was Friday night, and it's because it can detect that from the computer, it just goes and checks to see what the computer's date and time was, and it says, well, one to four players, and if you hit one player on a Friday night, he would berate you. You'd say, what, you don't have enough friends? Come on, it's Friday night. Get out there. It was very clever.
Now, before we go on, this is a complete non sequitur, but I sent out with Snapchat, which we were talking about before the break, I sent out 5 invitations. I sent one to Art. Did I send you one, Rebecca?
I don't think I sent one to Rebecca.
Nope. I sent one to you, Todd. Yeah. I sent one to David Hathaway, who often does this App Wednesday with us.
I thought it was spam.
And Dave Hathaway just sent me back a snapshot.
Oh, cool.
And so we can actually try it out. There it is. It's are you guys ready?
Yep.
This is making fascinating radio, but I'm pressing on it. Sorry. I have to go into the app, right? It was just in the notification. So all there's my list there. There it is right there. It tells me right there. So there's the one from Dave. I hit the
touch
button.
It.
Oh, hold it. And there he is.
Oh, I see. So you have to hold it down.
And you see
and
the
then
picture.
And when you let your finger go, it takes the photo away and you can't get the picture anymore.
You can't get back into it.
Very cool.
So you can see that you got one from them.
Mm-hmm.
You can reply, but you can't do it. So that's Snapchat. Okay. And we just did Songza. He just did Songza. I'm looking at my list.
You don't have much left on that list.
Well, I had Square. I had Songza. The Sonos. I wanted to talk about the Sonos Music Player, which I just did. You wanted to talk a little bit more about a Twitter app.
Yeah, you know, Rebecca was talking about Echo Phone. The one that I like is called Tweetbot. Great user interface. Just came out on the Mac. It's available on the iPhone. I believe there's an Android as well. Here's what I like about it. First of all, it's a very nice user interface. It's very simple. It's very clean. But it has a very nice feature that you will not find on the Twitter app, and I don't know if Echophone has this or not, where you can mute people, hashtags, or clients. Clients meaning the programs that create tweets. So there are these little digital newspapers that people occasionally put out called paper.li, which I think are the equivalent of spam.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hate them. And you'll sometimes see them on Twitter. It'll be, you know, if a friend of yours is an accountant, it'll be like, Dave's Accountant Daily is out with a link.
I did one for a little while. And then I got embarrassed by myself.
I hate them. But you can mute it. You can say to Tweetbot, I never want to see anything from Paper.li again. Gone. And you can also mute hashtags. So when Major League Baseball was around, I'm not a sports fanatic. I couldn't care less about the hashtag MLB. Now, anyone tweets MLB, I never see it. It's gone. I hate to say this, but Follow Friday, I have muted FF. So and it just does it automatically.
I don't even know what Follow Friday is.
Follow Friday?
What?
It's a Twitter essential.
What is it?
It's a recommendation of people that you should follow, and you do it on Fridays. Just hashtag FF.
And a list of people who you think you should, that others who follow you should also follow.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's kind of a way of like giving back and giving kudos to people.
Are people putting me on their Follow Friday?
Probably.
Could be.
I haven't put anybody on a Follow Friday. Do you do Follow Friday? Art's shaking his head.
Well,
like I'm
Follow Friday is kind of, that's very 2011.
I like it. I prefer to do it where it's not just a hashtag FF and then a list of names. I try to do it more targeted. So hashtag FF and then this person and then why.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Todd will never get one from me now that I know he mutes it.
Well, I'm muted, so I'll never see it anyway. Yeah.
Are you going to unfollow Todd Maffin?
No,
but she can mute me without me knowing that.
Well, this is interesting. With a site as popular as yours with 30,000, how many people do you follow? Because I find I only follow like 30, 40.
I have 3,500 that I follow, but I stopped always following back. I add people to lists. So I mostly add people to lists. So I have a food list, theater list, news list, family list, things like that.
So you don't follow everybody that comes in, but if they are in an area, you make sure they're attached to a list. Your list matters. Now, do you share those lists with others?
Yeah, they're public lists.
Yeah.
The only list that isn't public is my family list, because I put friends and family and people on there, very close people on there. But everything else is public. So like a restaurant can go and see that I'm on their food list, or a theater company can see that they're on my theater list.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Good. Okay. Do you have another app that's on the
I do.
Your tongue? Okay, Todd.
You know, I've always wanted to have weather apps on my phone, and weather has always been described the same way visually, right? It's the three things. It's tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and then underneath it, it's got the temperature, and underneath that, it's got a little picture of Vancouver cloud and rain all the time. This app called Partly Cloudy.
Okay.
Partly Cloudy is the very first app that I've ever seen, the very first time I've ever seen weather data presented truly visually. And you end up with this circle, and it kind of looks like a clock. By the way, this is the only weather app that has remained on my phone, and it's on my homepage. It's on the very first screen, a coveted position of any iPhone user. And so you touch it, and you get this sort of circle, and the circle changes. You can make it 24 hours or 7 days or whatever. And all of these little graphical elements show you visually at a glance what the weather is going to be like. So the bars that are kind of radiating out around the circle is the wind speed. The blue sort of swirl that you see is rain. The colors, you'll be able to see the colors. If it's really warm, it's going to be orange and red. And then you can see at night, it kind of dips into green. So it's an infographic, essentially, one of these things that are very popular on the internet. But it's a great way of visually showing weather. And it's the kind of thing that once you see it, you look at it once, you don't have to, there's no numbers, there's no like, what is with wind speed, kiloph per hour, you know, all that. You don't have to worry about that. It's just, you know, immediately store different cities in it, swipe. It's a fantastic app.
So it's called Partly Cloudy. So you've learned to read a circular weather.
I'm going to work on squares next, but circles I thought were really good to start with.
And it's an expensive app. It's $1.99.
Yes, it is an
expensive
app.
You bought it? Is there a free version?
I don't believe there's a free version. No. But if you give me your credit card, with the Square app, I will buy it for you.
I don't think we need to do that. That looks pretty good. So now, does it show it in the icon? Do you get it? Does the information come through to the icon level, or do you have to open the app?
No, you can't. Apple doesn't provide a way to change the icon.
That's right. Yeah.
Some apps can put a little number on it. There are some weather apps that will put the temperature as that, and it looks like a notification. Like it'll look like your weather app has 15 emails when it's actually saying 15 degrees. This isn't like that, but you know, once you launch it, it's very quick, it's very speedy. You have a look at it, you're seeing it now, and it's incredibly easy. You just glance at it, and you can just kind of drag your finger over to where the highest blue zones are, and it'll show you right away. It'll be like, oh, okay, 2:30 in the morning, it's going to be raining, as opposed to kind of tracking down the, you know, the 12-day weather forecast on all these sites. So it's great.
That's interesting. You know, I haven't thought about recently about what I do have on my homepage, because on my very start page. What's on your start page, Rebecca?
On my main
page.
Photos, camera, Instagram, Facebook, Foursquare, Echophone, Hootsuite, and Kick.
You're still doing Foursquare, hey?
I do Foursquare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've given up on Foursquare.
This is because I'm the mayor of the dog park, where I walk my dog every day, and somebody got me on the summertime. They passed me, and then it took me to the end of summer to repass them. I don't want to let them catch up.
And we should say Foursquare is this location kind of game, essentially, where you check into various locations. And it used to be that you would check into a restaurant. Checking in just means, I'm here. You tell the system that. And occasionally, a little coupon will pop up and say, hey, you're here, great, have 15% off. And
I've never seen that.
But exactly. And fewer and fewer I'm finding venues and organizations.
And now it's awkward because sometimes people I don't know say that they're there, too. So,
yes.
What do you use Foursquare for? Do you use it a lot? Did you check in here? Let's check in here.
I didn't check in here yet. I use it when I travel. I'm like a level 5 jet setter.
I do too. I check into airport terminals, and that's so that my family can basically know that I'm there and I'm on my way home, rather than, you know, telling everybody that sort of thing. So let's see there's Virgin Radio. That's us right here. We can say Virgin. I'm going to check in.
It's amazing how many people have Instagram, though, on their main home screen.
What do you have on your main home screen?
Well, mine's dead, so it's over there in the wall charging. But Instagram is definitely there. And I think the beauty of it is you can take the picture, and there's this community inside Instagram as well. But you can also, after you've taken the picture, say, and I want to send the same thing to Facebook and to Twitter and to Flickr and to Tumblr and to, does it do Posterous as well? I think maybe you can send it to email. Mm-hmm. So in one kind of click, you can send this to all sorts of locations.
Yeah. I don't find the Instagram interface that easy for beginners to use, though. I think it's a confusing app for people that haven't used Instagram.
There's also a Mac version of it, incidentally, called Carousel.
Oh.
And you buy this in the Mac App Store, and it looks just kind of like the Instagram screen on an iPhone or an Android, but it works right on the Mac itself. And it works with Mountain Lion, the new notification system. So I just leave it kind of hidden, and then every once in a while, whenever someone on my network that I follow, if Rebecca takes a photograph on Instagram, it'll just pop a note out.
That notification system is terrible. It's driving me crazy because it's cutting into my productivity like crazy, because I'm like a shiny object.
Well, turn it off.
It keeps attracting me. I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to. Is it a break or is it the show? We have one more segment. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to return with more of Dottotech in just a few moments.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Steve Dotto here with Rebecca Bulwit and with Todd Maffin. It's App Wednesday. We have one more segment today to talk about all of our apps. And before we leave Instagram, Rebecca, you had an Instagram tip? Or
not really a tip, just a cheat that I use.
Okay, what is it?
I like a few of the filters on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So what I actually do is I load my photo into Path, which is another social network app, and they have beautiful filters on there. So I'll load my photo there, save it to my phone, and then upload that photo with that filter to Instagram.
Wow, that's commitment.
it takes 90 seconds.
What filters do you like?
On Path?
Yeah.
Well, like on Instagram, I don't like the really orangey ones. I like things to look crisp and clear and have a nice vignette. So on Path, they have really nice, they have a few
I'm
very
simple
filters. I'm
not a big fan of any of the filters. Do you like anything filtered?
I like Hefe. Hefe is my favorite filter.
What does it do?
It just kind of warms things up a little bit.
I don't mind adjusting the color a little bit, you know, sharpening things up with it. But, you know, I don't want it to look like a vintage photo, and I don't want it to, you know, I don't.
The worst part of Instagram, though, truly is these camera phones that we all carry around are multiple megapixels, 5-7 megapixels, depending on the phone. So they're good, high quality photographs. But when you take it with Instagram will save it as a quite a low res file. So even when you publish it out to Flickr, what you're publishing from Instagram is a low-res file, which is why Rebecca takes the photo she really likes off of her camera, the really good ones, and sends it to Flickr directly through the app, I think, eh?
For Flickr, I do Flickr Twitter. So I email the photo to my Flickr account, and it puts it on Twitter as well.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Yeah. I haven't done too many apps today. I bought the entertainment book off my daughter for a fundraiser, the old mm-hmm. coupon book, which is, and they have an entertainment app now. So as you're out, and they've got coupons in it that aren't in the book, and you can also redeem coupons from it.
But can you redeem all of the coupons?
In the book, no. Some of them you have to tear.
Cool.
But, I think the ones that you have to tear are like the A&W two burgers for the price of one things. And those aren't coupons I typically use. We look for restaurants to try out and stuff like that. And we went to a couple weeks ago. We went down onto the drive and we went to a beautiful Italian restaurant that had jazz running all night long. It was can't remember the name of it, but it was based on a coupon and entertainment. It was wonderful. We're going to go back.
The problem with those kind of apps, and Yellow Pages tries to do it, Foursquare tries to do it, Groupon tries to do it, where it's location-based and you click it and it says there are all these deals everywhere. Well, if you're a restaurant owner or a spa owner or a business owner, you have to decide which one of these ones am I going to list in. I mean, you could do it all, but then it's a full-time job just managing the relationships with all these things.
Oh, yeah.
There's no single...
And there's nothing worse than having the staff not know about the coupon as you come in as a... Because then you, as a customer, you feel like you're trying to pull a fast one, and you feel kind of devalued if they don't know about it.
Yep.
Yeah. So that is a challenge. The location-based service, I think that's one of the most compelling business. If you're looking for something to work in the high-tech world, figure out location-based services. That's going to be, there'll be folks in need in your services.
Anything mobile, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you had another one, Todd, that you wanted to talk about. You had...
This is, one of the greatest advances, I think, of that computers gave us was copy and paste. You've got something, you copy it, you dump it from an email into a Word document. But the limitation of all of this tools, and whether we're talking about iPhones or Macs or Windows, is that you copy something... It puts it in the clipboard, it's a little area of memory, just kind of remembers that text or number or photo or whatever it is you've copied. But there's only one slot. Once you've pasted it, it's gone. It's not like you can load five or six things up into there. There are apps out there. iClip is a good one. But I find they're all they're big, they're clunky, they're beautiful graphics, but they're kind of slow. I use an app. It's an applet. It's a tiny little thing. It's free. It's on the Mac. It's called Jump Cut, all mm-hmm. one word. And it sort of replaces that. So the way to paste usually is Command V or Control V on a PC, and that dumps whatever was in your clipboard memory onto wherever you are, onto your page. Well, with this, you hold down the Shift key while you're doing that, and instead of it pasting it, it just shows you on the screen what's in the clipboard. And then with your arrow keys, you can move around, and you can go back in history to all the stuff you put in the clipboard previous. And as soon as you let go of that key sequence, it pastes it in. So you can load up frequently, if I've got five or six things I need to dump into an email, instead of copying, going to the email, paste, going back to my Word document, copying, you just load it all up. You go copy, 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 copy. You go to the email, and you go paste, 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 and it all remembers it, puts it all in the same order.
Jump clip?
Jump cut.
Jump cut.
Jump cut, all one word, and it's free.
There is another one that does it, which I use, which I found, which is called Clippen, CLYPEN, I believe is the name. And I actually have a video of that on the in the Dotto Tech videos showing how to use it. And I actually bought it. It was a free version, but then the upgraded version cost, I think, was like $3 or something like that. It's an applet. It installs in your menu bar. And its benefit is it also allows you to store favorites. So as well as your history of cuts, which is very similar, almost exact same how they implement it. There's also... you have all the standard text that you use. So I use that when I'm doing YouTube videos. I've got a URL to subscribe to my my feed. I've got that as a favorite. So that you just go and select those for your pasting. So that's it.
Cool.
That's another version. But both free, both awesome. To get the saving favorites, I think you have to buy the full version with Clippen.
Big words for someone who won't spend $1.99 on a weather app.
But this makes my life better.
Yeah.
I have to... Your weather app, you have to learn to read a new... We were talking as we drove in today about how we used to accept graffiti, how we actually learned in order to use our handheld devices with graffiti on the Palm Pilot.
Yeah.
We were actually willing to learn a whole new language of shorthand in order to take notes. That's what your silly little weather app is, as far as I'm concerned. Because I know how to read the temperature and wind speed. I know how to do that, but
Try it.
I will try it.
You will be a convert. You know, a month from now when I'm back, you're going to say, Todd, you are absolutely right. That is, and now I cannot read weather in any other fashion. It'll change your life.
Perhaps.
It'll change your children's life. Your grandchildren will thank you. Trust me.
Rebecca, do you have any sane apps?
I just have practical apps.
Okay,
I like to download the apps that like the City of Vancouver or City of Surrey put out for parks and recreation and things like that.
Yes. Transit apps. Do you have a good transit app? Because I tried to find a good Vancouver-based transit app, and I'm so shocked that TransLink doesn't used to have one, but they don't put out their own.
I have a TransLink app on my phone.
I have iTransit Van, but it's not an official TransLink app.
There's a different transit app. The one that initially popped up when I upgraded to iOS 6, and I deleted it. But I should probably have it.
But I was shocked when I went to the TransLink site that there wasn't an official TransLink app.
They're pushing most people to nb.translink.ca, where you can type in the bus route or the location number and then see the live view of the buses coming through. So it's not really an app, but it's their mobile site that is helpful.
Now, what about the park sites and that? So any of those that really have changed your life or just to make things a little better?
A few things make things a little better. I still have the Vancouver BC Votes app on my phone.
Wow.
I still need that.
It's funny how some of these single purpose, I still have the Olympics app. I haven't got rid of it just because I don't want to let go of that magic. I'm not talking about the Summer Olympics. I'm talking about the Winter Olympics from 96.
I got it.
Van Parks app. And there's another one. There's a mommy blog, a parent blog in town called Yo-Yo Mama, and she does an on-the-go kids app.
Yes.
So she has an app that's all events, and you can type in your location, what type of event you want to go to. And
what's it called?
On-the-go kids.
On-the-go kids.
Yep. It's actually by the same people who did the Olympics app.
Oh, good. There's a really nice Vancouver. Have you seen Vancouver in Time? Speaking of that.
Oh, that is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did it up at SFU. I've tried to get them on the show a bunch of times. They haven't come on yet. But they've got, it's a beautiful thing where you can see, you can go to a corner, you stand there, and then it shows you that different photographs from that corner going back in time. Mm-hmm. And they've got a pretty good archive of different photos, which is...
Do we have time to do one that will actually make you money at bars? It's called Mental Killer. It's a magic trick. Mental Killer.
You're good at these magic tricks.
This one takes...
You did a phone one to me that blew my mind.
That's the one I'm about to tell you about.
It's frustrating because he did it to me, and I can't figure it out, and I want to figure it out, but it's magic, and he won't tell me how he
I
did
won't
it.
Tell you because magicians never tell. I will tell you the effect,
You're not a
though.
Real magician, though. You're a
Hey, watch.
Magician.
Can I make this levitate? Okay, I guess not. But anyway, you get the idea.
Yes.
So here's Mental Killer. This is the effect, right? So you say to someone, write down any card. So they write down the Four of Spades or something on a piece of paper. They show it to you. And you say, I'm going to prove to you that I knew ahead of time that you were going to pick the Four of Spades. You get out your iPhone. You dial the phone number of your assistant. You can actually write this phone number down, or a friend of yours. Write this phone number down ahead of time. So it's not like, okay, there's 52 different phone numbers he's calling, and you know, it's like that. It's the same phone number every time, and you write it down ahead of time so there's no tomfoolery, and you hand them the phone, and either the person picks up and tells you, or you get their voicemail, but either way, they will say, you will pick the Four of Spades, or whatever card. It works every single time. It's flawless. It'll work right now.
It does work.
I can put it on speakerphone. It'll work right now. It's amazing. Mental Killer. And of course, when you buy the app, it tells you what the secret is. It tells you
how much does the app cost?
I don't know. It's not expensive.
That one I'll buy. I would buy that app.
And that's the kind of thing where you can, you know, say at a bar, $5 it'll work, and you know, you get people drunk enough, they'll be, oh yeah, that'll never work. It works.
Wow. I'm blown away.
Is it hard to do?
No, here, write down a card number.
Oh, man, oh,
do it right
man.
Now.
While they're doing that, I will tell you basically.
Oh yeah, Art,
quick
do you have
one.
Another? You have another? Go ahead.
I discovered this. It's a game, and it's what people love. Everyone knows what Angry Birds are, but it's become too big. So Angry Catapult Birds. King.
Catapult King. What are
it's
you catapulting?
It's the new Angry Birds. It's it just shows from a different angle, but essentially you're just trying to you're taking big boulders. You have a catapult and you destroy whatever these little army men guys are standing on, and you kill them all, and boom, they are.
Oh, okay.
It's the ultimate. It was my time killer while I was in Seattle last weekend while you were celebrating your birthday.
Okay, so
Catapult
I'm going to give you a play by play of what's happening here.
Okay,
Rebecca Bullwood has written down a card. Can she tell us the card that she wrote down? What did you write down?
The Nine of Hearts.
Nine of Hearts.
Yep.
And Todd is now dialing his phone, mm-hmm. and he's choosing the 52nd number that is the Nine of Hearts. But he's
I wrote that phone number
down. Legit.
Okay, here we go.
They put it on speakerphone. There it is. Now we're listening to Todd's speakerphone.
So I've just dialed a phone number, which is the same phone number it would have been no matter what card she'd written down. What did you put? The Nine of Hearts, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a 604 number, too.
Sorry, I missed your call. Feel free to leave a message. Oh, if you're calling about the card, it should be the Nine of Hearts.
Whoa! Mental killer. It's amazing.
Wow.
And we did not set that up.
And it's a 604 number, too.
It's a 604 number. It can be, actually, here's the thing. It can be any number you want it to be. You tell it what your local number is. So it can be 778 if you want to. It's amazing. Works every time. You can even do what you can't do with most magic tricks, which is repeat the same trick with the same person immediately afterwards.
I'm sitting here with my mouth open. Can you believe it, Todd? Art?
You're so flabbergasted.
You've got me all verklempt.
Yeah.
How much money have you made with it? What's the most you've made on a bet with it?
I think I won $20 off it once, actually.
Yeah. I want to use this on some people that are on the show on a regular basis. We should challenge everybody. It should be.
We'll only challenge people who haven't heard the show.
No, it's okay because we'll put the money towards a charity. Steve,
another great one. I won't talk about because we're running out of time. If you like that and you like magic tricks on the iPhone, there's a great one called Doodle. Doodle. Oh, you know what? That's the secret one. That's not the one that'll get you. The one that'll get you is called. I predict, lowercase I predict, and then a plus sign afterwards. I predict plus.
Lowercase I
predict.
Predict.
And then the plus sign.
Okay.
Also very good.
And what does it do?
I'm not going to tell you. No, oh. Basically you can
that makes great radio.
Someone, Todd. It's sort of a what you can say actually. What's your favorite? Your iPhone is down. You draw something on. It's like a doodle screen, right? You just so the person, the magician's doing the trick, looks deeply into your mind and says, "I'm gonna predict what you're about to say." They write it down and they put the phone face down. So they've drawn something on the doodle screen. And then they'll say, "Okay, what's your favorite kind of food? Restaurant food?" And you'll say sushi. And they'll flip the phone over. And it'll say sushi on it.
Oh.
And it does not work by voice recognition or anything like that.
I was just thinking that. Is it like Siri?
No, it's not voice recognition. It doesn't use the camera.
That sounds great. And with that, we have run out of time. Todd Maffin, toddmaffin.com, social media expert and public speaker. Rebecca Bull, what's your company's name, Rebecca?
64 Media.
64 Media or Miss 604. Follow her on Twitter. Of course, Art Factora there in the booth. I'm Steve Dotto. Don't forget, drop by the website and win a Sonos music system. Oh, such a good prize. We will see you again next week right here on Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.